This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist. I have a master's degree in the field of nutrition and exercise. I've been practicing nutrition since, 2003, when I first started with Dr. Atkins, and then afterwards since 2005, as most of you know who listen to this podcast, with Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We share in these podcasts, and I thank you for joining me. Now, I love taking your questions. I appreciate your comments, any topics of interest. And you could email me at radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. So let me dive right in here. I've got a question from Frank. Frank says, "Hi, Layla. I take MK7 daily, 90 micrograms, in an effort to direct calcium into my bones and not my arteries." Bravo, Frank. Frank is taking vitamin K, and the supplement is called MK7, which is vitamin K2. Don't let the numbers confuse you. Okay. Frank says, "I hope it is doing just that, directing the calcium into my bones and not my arteries. Is there any other supplement that will help with that? My cardiac calcium score is 110. Also, I'm confused. Does this form of K2 contribute to blood thinning or just the opposite? Thanks for any help." Okay. K2 takes care of the proper coagulation of blood. It takes care of blood clotting. That's what you want. That's why people who are on blood thinners, like Coumadin, for example, are told to be careful of vitamin K, because Coumadin is there to thin the blood. Vitamin K is there to promote proper clotting. Does that mean vitamin K thickens the blood? Absolutely not. That's not what it does. It helps in proper coagulation. All right. Now, Frank has a cardiac calcium score of 110. Generally, what that is he's likely gone for an EBT heart scan, and he's come back with some plaque burden somewhere in the minimal to moderate range. Frank, I don't know how old you are. If you were, say, in your 30s or 40s with this, I may be concerned, but if you're in your 70s or 80s, I would be less concerned, because somebody who will be older will have some plaque burden. And of course, minimal is best, but you know, we're only born with pristine arteries. By the time we're children, things start to happen. Now, Frank is taking MK7, which is 90 micrograms. He's taking 90 micrograms of vitamin K2. What we found out recently is that we need to be taking more vitamin K, somewhere in the area of 320 micrograms. We've been suggesting over previous years to our patients and to the public to take 90 micrograms of vitamin K2, which is MK7, is what the supplement is called, right? Menaquinone. 90 microgram doses twice a day to equal 180 micrograms. Now, with new research, it's showing that we need as much as 320 micrograms a day. So now this is the new recommendation that Dr. Hoffman and I are letting people know about. Let's talk a little bit about the matrix of vitamin K. Vitamin K2 is found in liver, in meat, in cheeses. We're getting some vitamin K if you're eating those foods. It also comes from natto. And natto is fermented soybean. You've probably heard of nattokinase, that's the enzyme. K2 is found in natto, in liver, in meats, and in cheeses. It regulates calcium metabolism. However, you do need a healthy microbiome for this to happen. Vitamin K is also produced in the gut, like biotin is also produced in the gut. Yes, it's helpful to take a supplement, but you need a proper functioning microbiome for K to be synthesized properly. So this is K2. Vitamin K1 we find in dark leafy green vegetables. So, and vitamin K1 is kind of like the K that promotes homeostasis in the blood. I know that it must have been a year or 2 years ago that I went into extensively about vitamin K in a couple of podcasts. Should you go to drhoffman.com to go search and find it. So if you're having a meal of, say, a steak or some liver and onions in a salad, a spinach salad, arugula, anything like that, or some spinach, you're getting K1 and K2. Yay! A supplement, however, is always indicated. I do like taking vitamin K in the form of MK7, vitamin K2, at 320 micrograms per day. They don't need to be divided necessarily. I do like that for my patients who are concerned, who have coronary calcium scores like Frank, who have a history of coronary artery disease in their family, who are concerned about bone health, because any calcium supplement you're taking isn't necessarily going to your bones. That's why we want you to take vitamin K. Vitamin K is directing the calcium where it needs to go to your bones and stay out of the arteries. If you read the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, you can subscribe to it at drhoffman.com very easily. And if you wish to not receive it any longer, you can unsubscribe at any time, and it's free. If you read the newsletter, earlier in June, I wrote about bone health, or towards the end of May, because May was National Osteoporosis Month. I talk a lot about K2, particularly K2 menaquinone. K1 is called phylloquinone. We're talking about K2 menaquinone is a key player in bone health. K2 keeps calcium to where it belongs in the bones. And there are vitamin K dependent proteins in bone, namely osteocalcin, matrix GLA protein, which is MGP, and protein S. These help take calcium from blood circulation and bind it to the bone matrix. This is how vitamin K works, to keep calcium in bone. The mineral binding capacity of osteocalcin requires vitamin K, and the synthesis of osteocalcin by bone-forming cells called osteoblasts is regulated by vitamin D. So, Frank, I know I'm digressing here, moving to bones, but we're still talking about vitamin K. And where it concerns you and arteries, you also need ample amounts of vitamin D, because vitamin D is also the bus driver of all of this. And anybody taking a vitamin D supplement also needs vitamin K. So you see, there is a synergy going on here. And vitamin D does so many other things as well. It's helpful in hypertension. It's helpful for a myriad of things, keeping immunity functioning properly. Frank, what I may also recommend to you, although I don't know anything about you or if you're what medications you're on, because it may be contraindicated, anybody with any coronary calcium or plaque in their coronary arteries, we also like kyolic aged garlic. And the optimal dose is taking 2 twice daily with food. Not 1 twice daily, 2 twice daily with food. But getting back to vitamin K, matrix GLA protein is a central calcification inhibitor produced by the cells of vascular smooth muscle and regulates the dangerous accumulation of calcium. And what did I say matrix GLA protein is dependent on? Vitamin K. Therefore, a critical benefit of vitamin K2 is it inhibits the accumulation of calcium within blood vessel walls, reducing the likelihood of arterial calcification and stiffening. But there's more. Calcium supplementation needs to be balanced with magnesium, or kidney stones may develop. And again, in this cross-connection with bone health, getting back to Frank's question, Frank, you need magnesium overall for heart health and for endothelial function, the function of the smooth muscle in your arteries to help your arteries relax and not stiffen. In addition to keeping the arteries elastic, vitamin C. Vitamin C is great for endothelial function and I think needs to be part of any prudent heart healthy program. I thank you for your question, Frank. Moving on. Now, I know you've heard Dr. Hoffman talk about this, the benefits of intermittent fasting, but lo and behold, about a month ago, get a load of this headline. Type 2 diabetes, intermittent fasting may raise risk. Uh-oh. New research suggests that intermittent fasting may raise insulin levels, damage pancreatic cells, and increase the amount of abdominal fat. What, you say? The so-called intermittent fasting diet has been gaining more and more traction among people who want to lose weight quickly. This popular diet consists of fast days where one drastically restricts their calorie intake to about a quarter of the daily dose or less, and feast days where the person dieting can eat whatever they please. I beg to differ with you. There are no feast days. What you are meant to do on the days that you're not fasting is eat normally, not feast. And this is where they got it wrong. Research presented at the European Society of Endocrinology annual meeting, which took place in Barcelona, suggests that the dieting practice may have serious consequences for a person's metabolism. Specifically, the new study suggests that intermittent fasting may impair the normal activity of the pancreas, production of insulin, which may in turn raise the risk of type 2 diabetes. The researchers were prompted in their endeavor by older studies suggesting that fasting for a short period of time increases oxidative stress and the production of free radicals. To find out whether intermittent fasting does indeed generate free radicals, these researchers placed healthy adult rats on a diet for a period of 3 months. These are rats. During this time, researchers measured and monitored the rodents' insulin levels and function, their body weight, and their free radical levels. At the end of the dieting period, the rats lost weight as expected. However, the distribution of their body fat changed unexpectedly. The amount of fat tissue in the rodent's abdomen increased. Belly fat has been shown by studies to be deeply linked with type 2 diabetes, right? And additionally, the researchers found damage in the insulin-secreting pancreatic cells, as well as higher levels of free radicals and signs of insulin resistance. The researchers say we should consider that overweight or obese people who opt for intermittent fasting diets may already have insulin resistance. And although this diet may lead to early rapid weight loss, in the long term, there could be potentially serious damaging effects to their health, such as developing type 2 diabetes. This is the first study to show that, despite weight loss, intermittent fasting diets may actually damage the pancreas, affect insulin function in normal, healthy individuals, could lead to diabetes and serious health. Okay, here's where they went wrong. This was more a study about yo-yo dieting. Let me tell you about rats. When food is available, they feast. They don't eat the way we humans do, unless we have a binge eating disorder, of course, right? So these rats were allowed, on the fasting days, their calories were controlled or fasted, and on the days that they were allowed to eat, they ate fully and freely, ad libitum, feast. This will cause tremendous oxidative stress. If you or I did this intermittent fasting diet, say 2 days of fasting and then 5 days of eating, if we feasted for those 5 days, we're going to make ourselves ill, become insulin resistant, and lead to type 2 diabetes. Rats are not a good study. They're not good participants in a study to observe what happens. What needs to happen is participants need to be eating more normally on the days that they're not fasting. So generally, this was a study in yo-yo dieting. And what does yo-yo dieting do? Cause oxidative stress and raises cortisol levels, which is a stress hormone, right? It's not helpful at all. So that's where they went wrong on this study. On the those rats were not to be feasting on the days that they weren't fasting. And that's why the study doesn't have a lot of clout with me. And there's so much research now on the benefits of intermittent fasting. It suggests benefits of increasing lifespan and staving off cancer. Indeed, some animal studies have indicated that intermittent fasting may lower the risk of cancer, while observational studies have shown that people whose religion has them fasting regularly live longer than seniors who don't fast. Now, there's nutrition research study shows intermittent fasting helps certain health issues. Quote, a pilot study conducted at Louisiana State University shows that eating all of your meals by mid-afternoon and fasting the rest of the day improves blood sugar control, blood pressure, and oxidative stress, even when people don't change what they eat. Meaning, don't change what they eat. You're eating your regular foods in regular amounts. Ours is the first study in humans that shows consuming all of your calories in a 6-hour period provides metabolic advantages compared to eating the exact amount over 12 hours or more, even if you don't lose weight. Our data also indicate that our feeding regimen has to be synchronized with the body's circadian rhythm and our biological clock. The study is published in the journal Cell Metabolism. This research is important because it shows for the first time in humans that the benefits of intermittent fasting are not solely due to eating less. Practicing intermittent fasting has intrinsic benefits regardless of what you eat. Also, the study shows that eating early in the day may be a particularly beneficial form of intermittent fasting. So, the research team, this research actually also raises awareness of the roles of the body's internal biological clock called the circadian system in health. Quote, if you eat late at night, it's bad for your metabolism. That's true. We're not meant to be metabolizing all night long. That's not what's supposed to happen. Even traditional Chinese medicine says our last meal should be 5 hours before we go to bed. That means we should all be eating by 5 p.m. Tough to do in our culture. Anyway, our bodies are optimized to do certain things at certain times of the day, and eating in sync with our circadian rhythm seems to improve our health in multiple ways. Traditional Chinese medicine already knows this. For instance, the body's ability to keep our blood sugar under control is better in the morning than it is in the afternoon and in the evening. So it makes sense to eat most of our food in the morning and early afternoon. Previous studies showed intermittent fasting improves metabolism and health. However, researchers didn't know whether these effects are simply because people ate less and lost weight. So this early time-sensitive feeding is helpful, meaning if you're eating most of your meals in the morning and early afternoon, in a 6 to 8 hour period, so for the other 16 to 18 hours, you're not eating. So say you're having breakfast at 9 and you're having a later meal at 3, and that's it, you're done. Or if you're doing the 8 hour feeding, say you're having your breakfast at 9 and you're eating your dinner at, you're having lunch at, you know, noon or 1 and having your dinner at 5. You've timed your eating, you've eaten within this 8 hour period. So that the next hours, the next 16, you're fasting, which is very, very helpful. So we know all the benefits of intermittent fasting, and especially the 5-2 diet, as it's called, where you're eating regularly, not feasting, for 5 days, and then doing this fasting type eating within 6 to 8 hours is helpful. You can also lower your calories during that time. That's also helpful. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density to ensure your future bone health. It's Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone helps inhibit bone resorption and promotes new bone formation. The Osteothera plus Ipraflavone formulation is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. I believe in Osteothera plus Ipraflavone so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, and I recommend it to my patients. For more information, and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.